exactly as it was before I had to cut it all off. Strange. Still, I feel more like myself than I have in a long time, and I'm quietly grateful. The only thing bothering me is that I'm wearing nothing but a dressing gown, under which I'm completely naked. I'm sick of being naked. I want my clothes. I want a proper pair of pants. I want... And then, as if someone has read my mind, I notice a fresh set of clothes on a nearby table. Clothes that look exactly my size. I pick up the sweater, examine it. These are my actual clothes. I know these pieces, recognize them. And if that wasn't enough, my initials, AWA, are monogrammed on the cuff of the sweater. This was no accident. Someone brought my clothes here, from my own closet. They were expecting me. I dress quickly, grateful for the clean outfit, regardless of the circumstances, and I'm nearly done with the straps on my boots when someone walks in. Max, I say, without lifting my head. Carefully, I step on the needle I'd tossed earlier to the floor. How are you? He laughs out loud. How did you know it was me? I recognize the rhythm of your footfalls. He goes quiet. Don't bother trying to deny it, I say, hiding the syringe in my hand as I sit up. I meet his eyes and smile. I've been listening to your heavy, uneven gait for the last 2 weeks. Max's eyes widen. I'm impressed. And I appreciate the clean shave, I say, touching my face. He laughs again, more softly this time. You were pretty close to dead when I brought you in here. Imagine my surprise to find you nearly naked, severely dehydrated, half-starved, vitamin deficient. You had 3 broken ribs, your father's blood all over your hands. 3 broken ribs. I thought it was 2. 3 broken ribs, Max says and nods. And still you managed to sever Paris's carotid artery. Nicely done. I meet his eyes. Max thinks this is funny. And then I understand. He's still alive, isn't he? I say. Max smiles wider. Quite alive, yes. Despite your best efforts to murder him. That seems impossible. You sound irritated, Max says. I am irritated. That he survived is an insult to my skill set. Max fights back another laugh. I don't remember you being so funny. I'm not trying to be funny. But Max can't wipe the smile off his face. So you're not going to tell me how he survived, I say. You're just going to bait me? I'm waiting for my wife, he says. I understand. Does she help you sound out the big words? Max's eyebrows jump up his forehead. Watch yourself, Aaron. Apologies. Please step out of my way. As I said, I'm waiting for my wife. She has something she wants to say to you. I study him, looking closely at his face in a way I can't remember ever having done. He has dark brown hair, light brown skin, and bright blue-green eyes. He's aged well. On a different day, I might have even described his face as warm, friendly. But knowing now that he's Ella's father, I almost can't believe I didn't notice sooner. She has his eyes. I hear a second set of footsteps drawing nearer to the door. I expect to see Evie, Supreme Summers, and instead...
Max, how long do you think it'll take before...
My father. His voice. I can hardly believe it. He stops just inside the doorway when he sees my face. He's holding a bloodied towel to his throat.
You idiot,
he says to me. I don't have a chance to respond. A sharp alarm sounds and Max goes suddenly rigid. He glances at a monitor on the wall before looking back at my father.
Go, Anderson says. I can handle him.
Max glances at me just once before he disappears. So, I say, nodding at my father's face, his healing wound. Are you going to explain? He merely stares at me. I watch, quietly, as he uses his free hand to pull a handkerchief from his pocket. He wipes the remaining blood from his lips, refolds the handkerchief, and tucks it back inside his pocket. Something between us has changed. I can feel it. Can feel the shift in his attitude toward me. It takes a minute to piece together the various emotional cues long enough to understand, but when it finally hits me, it hits me hard. Respect. For the first time in my life, my father is staring at me with something like respect. I tried to kill him, and instead of being angry with me, he seems pleased. Maybe even impressed.
You did good work back there, he says quietly. It was a strong throw. Solid.
It feels strange to accept his compliment, so I don't. My father sighs.
Part of the reason I wanted custody of those healer twins, he says finally, was because I wanted Evie to study them. I wanted her to replicate their DNA and braid it into my own. Healing powers, I realized, were extremely useful.
A sharp chill goes up my spine.
But I didn't have them under my control for as long as I wanted, he says. I was only able to extract a few blood samples. Evie did the best she could with the time we had.
I blink, try to control the expression on my face. So you have healing powers now?
We're still working on it, he says, his jaw tight. It's not yet perfect, but it was enough that I was able to survive the wounds to the head just long enough to be shipped to safety.
He smiles a bitter smile.
My feet, on the other hand, didn't make it.
How unfortunate, I lie. I test the weight of the syringe in my hand. I wonder how much damage it could do. It's not substantial enough to do much more than stun, but a carefully angled attack could result in a temporary nerve pain that would buy me a sizable amount of time. But then, so might a single precise stab in the eye.
Operation Synthesis, my father says sharply.
I look up, surprised.
You're ready, Aaron?
His gaze is steady.
You're ready for a real challenge. You've got the necessary fire, the drive. I'm seeing it in your eyes for the first time.
I'm too afraid to speak. Finally, after all these years, my father is giving me praise. He's telling me I'm capable. As a child, it was everything I'd ever wanted. But I'm not a child anymore.
You've seen Emmeline, my father says, but you haven't seen her recently. You don't know what state she's in.
I wait.
She's dying, he says. Her body isn't strong enough to survive her mind or her environment, and despite Max and Evie's every effort, they don't know if there's anything else they can do to help her. They've been working for years to prolong her life as much as possible, but they've reached the end of the line. There's nothing left to do. She's deteriorating at a rate they can no longer control.
Still, I say nothing.
Do you understand? My father says to me. Do you understand the importance of what I'm saying to you? Emmeline is not only a psychokinetic, but a telepath, he says. As her body deteriorates, her mind grows wilder. She's too strong, too explosive. And lately, without a strong enough body to contain her, she's become volatile. If she's not given an... Don't you dare! A voice barks loudly into the room. Don't you dare say another word, you thick-headed fool!
I spin around, surprise catching in my throat. Supreme Commander Ibrahim. He seems taller than I remember him. Dark skin, dark hair. Angry.
It's okay, my father says unbothered. Evie is taken care of. Evie is dead, Ibrahim says angrily. We need to initiate the transfer immediately. What?
My father goes pale. I've never seen him pale. I've never seen him terrified.
What do you mean she's dead?
Ibrahim's eyes flash.
I mean we have a serious problem.
He glances at me.
This boy needs to be put back in isolation. We can't trust any of them right now. We don't know what she might have done.
And just as I'm trying to decide my next move, I hear a whisper at my ear. "Don't scream," she says. "Nazira."
Ella. I'm running for my life, bolting down hallways and up staircases. A low, insistent alarm has gone off, its high, piercing sound sending shocks of fear through me, even as my feet pound the floor. I feel strong, steady, but I'm increasingly aware of my inability to navigate these snaking paths. I could see, could feel, Emmeline growing weaker as I left, and now, the farther I get from her, the dimmer our connection becomes. She showed me, in her memories, how Max and Evie slowly stripped her of control. Emmeline is more powerful than anyone, but now she can only use her powers on command. It took all her strength to push past the failsafes long enough to use her strength at will, and now that her voice has retreated from my mind, I know she won't be back. Not anytime soon. I have to figure out my own way out of here. I will. My power is back on. I can get through anything from here. I have to. And when I hear someone shout, I spin around, ready to fight. But the face in the distance is so familiar, I stop, stunned in my tracks. Kenji barrels into me. Kenji? Kenji is hugging me. Kenji is hugging me, and he's uninjured. He's perfect. And just as I begin to return his embrace, he swears violently and launches himself backward. Jesus, woman, are you trying to kill me? You can't turn that shit off for a second. You have to go and ruin our dramatic reunion by nearly murdering me after I've gone to all the trouble of... I launch myself into his arms again and he stiffens, relaxing only when he realizes I've pulled my power back. I forgot, for a second, how much of my skin was exposed in this dress. Kenji, I breathe. You're alive. You're okay. Oh my God.
Hey, he says. Hey.
He pulls back, looks me in the eye.
I'm okay. You okay?
I don't really know how to answer the question. Finally, I say, I'm not sure. He studies my face for a second. He looks concerned. And then, the knot of fear growing only more painful in my throat, I ask the question killing me most. Where's Warner? Kenji shakes his head. I feel myself begin to unravel.
I don't know yet,
Kenji says quietly.
But we're going to find him, okay? Don't worry.
I nod. My bottom lip trembles and I bite it down, but the tremble won't be killed. It grows, multiplies, evolves into a tremor that shakes me from stem to sternum.
Hey,
Kenji says. I look up.
You want to tell me where all the blood came from?
I blink. What blood? He raises his eyebrows at me.
The blood,
he says, gesturing generally at my body.
On your face, your dress, all over your hands?
Oh, I say, startled. I look at my hands as if seeing them for the first time. The blood. Kenji sighs, squints at something over my shoulder. He pulls a pair of gloves out of his back pocket and tugs them on.
All right, princess, turn your power back on. We have to move.
We break apart. Kenji pulls his invisibility over us both.
Follow me,
he says, taking my hand. Where are we going? I say.
What do you mean, where are we going? We're getting the hell out of here.
But what about Warner?
Nazira is looking for him as we speak.
I stop so suddenly, I nearly stumble. Nazira is here?
Yeah. So, it's a really long story, but the short answer is yes.
So, that's how you got in here? I say, beginning to understand. Nazira? Kenji makes a sound of disbelief.
Wow. Right off the bat, you give me no credit, huh? Come on, Jay. You know I love a good rescue mission. I know some things. I can figure things out, too.
For the first time in weeks, I feel a smile tug at my lips. A laugh builds and breaks inside my body. I've missed this so much. I've missed my friends so much. Emotion wells in my throat, surprising me. I missed you, Kenji, I say. I'm so happy you're here.
Hey, Kenji says sharply, don't you dare start crying. If you start crying, I'll start crying, and we do not have time to cry right now. We have too much shit to do, okay? We can cry later, at a more convenient time, okay?
When I say nothing, he squeezes my hand.
Okay?
He says again. Okay, I say. I hear him sigh.
Damn,
he says.
They really messed you up in here, didn't they?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry,
he says. Can we cry about it later? I'll tell you everything.
Hell yeah, we can cry about it later.
Kenji tugs gently on my hand to get us moving again.
I have so much shit to cry about, Jay. So much. We should make, like, a list.
Good idea, I say. But my heart is in my throat again.
Hey, don't worry, Kenji says, reading my thoughts. Seriously, we'll find Warner. Nazira knows what she's doing.
But I don't think I can just wait while Nazira goes searching for him. I can't just stand around. I need to do something. I need to look for him myself.
Uh-uh, no way. Nazira and I split up on purpose. My mission is to get you on the plane. Her mission is to get Warner on the plane. That's how math works.
Wait, you have a plane?
How else do you think we got here?
I have no idea.
Well, that's another long story, and I'll fill you in later. But the highlights are that Nazira is very confusing but helpful, and according to her calculations, we need to be getting the hell out of here yesterday. We're running out of time.
But wait, Kenji, what happened to everyone? Last time I saw you, you were bleeding. Brendan had been shot. Castle was down. I thought everyone was dead. Kenji doesn't answer me at first.
You really have no idea what happened, huh?
He says finally. I only know that I didn't actually kill all those people at the symposium.
Oh, yeah?
He sounds surprised.
Who told you?
Emmeline?
Your sister?
Yeah, I say, sighing heavily. There's so much I have to tell you. But first, please tell me everyone is still alive. Kenji hesitates.
I mean, I think so. Honestly, I don't know. Nazira says they're alive. She's promising to come through on getting them to safety, so I'm still holding my breath. But get this.
He stops walking, puts an invisible hand on my shoulder.
You're never going to believe this.
Let me guess, I say. Anderson is alive. I hear Kenji's sharp intake of breath.
How did you know?
Evie told me.
So, you know about how he came back to Sector 45?
What? I say, no.
Well, what I was about to tell you right now was that Anderson came back to base. He's resumed his position as Supreme Commander of North America. He was there right before we left. Nazira told me he made up this whole story about how he'd been ill and how our team had spread false rumors while he was recovering, and that you'd been executed for your deception.
What? I say, stunned. That's insane.
This is what I'm saying.
So what are we going to do when we get back to Sector 45, I say. Where do we go? Where do we stay?
Shit if I know, Kenji says. Right now, I'm just hoping we can get out of here alive.
Finally, we reach the exit. Kenji has a security card that grants him access to the door, and it opens easily. From there, it's almost too simple. Our invisibility keeps us undetected, and once we're on the plane, Kenji checks his watch.
We've only got 30 minutes, just so you know. That was the rule. 30 minutes, and if Nazira doesn't show up with Warner, we have to go.
My heart drops into my stomach.
Warner. I have no time to register my shock, or to ask Nazira when on earth she was going to tell me she had the power to turn herself invisible, so I do the only thing I can in the moment. I nod, the movement almost imperceptible. Kenji is getting Ella onto a plane. I'm going to wait for you just outside this door, she says. Do you think you can make it? If you go invisible in front of everyone, they'll be on to us. And it'd be better if they think you're just trying to run. Again, I nod. All right, then. I'll see you out there. I wait a second or two, and then I head for the door.
Hey, Ibrahim bellows.
I hesitate, turning back slightly on my heel.
Yes? Where do you think you're going?
He says. He pulls a gun from the inside of his jacket and points it at me.
I have to use the bathroom.
Ibrahim doesn't laugh.
You're going to wait here until Max gets back, and then we decide what we're going to do with you.
I tilt my head at him. The gun he's pointing at me looks suspiciously like one of the guns I stole from my father earlier. Not that it matters. I take a quick breath.
I'm afraid that's not how this is going to work, I say, attempting a smile. Though I'm sure we'll all be seeing each other soon, so I wouldn't worry about missing me too much.
And then, before anyone has a chance to protest, I run for the door, but not before Ibrahim fires his weapon. 3 times. In close range. I fight back the urge to cry out as one of the bullets shoots clean through my calf, even as the pain nearly takes my breath away. Once I'm on the other side of the door, Nazira pulls her invisibility over me. I don't make it far before I take a sharp breath slumping against the wall.
Shit, she says. Did you get shot?
Obviously. I bite out, trying to keep my breathing even.
Damn it, Warner, what the hell is wrong with you? We have to get back to the plane in the next 15 minutes, or they're going to leave without us.
What? Why would...
Because I told them to. We have to get Ella out of here no matter what. I can't have them waiting around for us and risk getting killed in the process.
Your sympathy is truly heartwarming. Thank you. She sighs.
Where did you get shot?
In my leg.
Can you walk?
I should be able to in just a minute. I hear her hesitate.
What does that mean?
If I manage to live long enough, maybe I'll tell you. She's unamused.
Can you really start running in just a minute?
Oh, now it's running? A moment ago you were asking if I could walk.
Running would be better.
I offer her a bitter laugh. It's hard from this distance, but I've been drawing on my father's new ability, harnessing it as best I can from where I am. I feel the wound healing, slowly regenerating nerves and veins and even a bit of bone. But it's taking longer than I'd like.
How long is the flight back? I say. I can't remember.
We've got the jet, so it should only take about 8 hours.
I nod, even though she can't see me.
I don't think I can survive 8 hours with an open wound.
Well, it's a good thing I don't give a shit. I'm giving you 2 more minutes before I carry you out of here myself.
I grunt in response, focusing all of my energy on drawing up the healing powers into my body. I've never tried to do something like this while wounded. And I didn't realize how demanding it was, both emotionally and physically. I feel drained. My head is throbbing, my jaw aching from the intense pressure I've used to bite back the pain, and my leg feels like it's on fire. There's nothing pleasant about the healing process. I have to imagine that my father is on the move, probably searching for me with Ibrahim, because harnessing his power is harder than any of the others I've tried to take.
We're leaving in 30 seconds,
Nazira says, a warning in her voice. I grit my teeth.
15.
Shit.
Did you just swear?
Nazira says, stunned.
I'm in an extraordinary amount of pain.
All right, that's it. We're out of time.
And before I manage to get a word in, she picks me up off the ground. And we're in the air.
Ella. Kenji and I have been staring at each other in nervous silence for the last minute. I spent the first 10 minutes telling him a little about Emmeline, which was its own stressful distraction, and then Kenji helped me wash the blood off my hands and face with the few supplies we have on board. Now we're both staring into the silence, our combined terror filling the plane. It's a nice plane, I think. I'm not sure. I haven't actually had the presence of mind to look around, or to ask him who exactly among us even knows how to fly a plane. But none of that will matter, of course, if Nazira and Warner don't get back here soon. It won't matter because I won't be leaving without him. And my thoughts must be easy to read, because suddenly Kenji frowns. Listen, he says, I'm just as worried about them as you are.
I don't want to leave Nazira behind, and I sure as hell don't want to imagine anything bad happening to her while she's out there. But we have to get you out of here. Kenji, we don't have a choice, Jay, he says, cutting me off. We have to get you out of here, whether you like it or not. The reestablishment is up to some shady shit, and you're right in the center of it. We have to keep you safe. Right now, keeping you safe is my entire mission. I drop my face in my hands, and then just as quickly look up again. This is all my fault, you know? I could have prevented this. What are you talking about? I look him straight in the eye. I should have done more research on the reestablishment. I should have read up on its history and my history within it. I should have learned more about the Supreme Commanders. I should have been better prepared. Hell, I should have demanded we search the water for Anderson's dead body instead of just assuming he'd sunk with the ship. I shake my head hard. I wasn't ready to be Supreme Commander, Kenji. You knew it. Castle knew it. I put everyone's lives in danger. Hey, he says sharply. I never said you weren't. Only Warner ever tried to convince me I was good enough. But I don't think I ever really believed it. Jay, listen to me. I never said you weren't. And now he's gone. Warner is gone. Everyone from Omega Point might be dead. Everything we built, everything we worked toward. I feel myself break, snap open from the inside. I can't lose him, Kenji. My voice is shaking. My hands are shaking. I can't. You don't know. You don't. Kenji looks at me with actual pain in his eyes. Stop it, Jay. You're breaking my heart. I can't hear this. And I realize, as I swallow back the lump in my throat, how much I'd needed to have this conversation. These feelings had been building inside of me for weeks, and I desperately needed someone to talk to. I needed my friend. I thought I'd been through some hard things, I say, my eyes now filling with tears. I thought I'd lived through my share of awful experiences, but this? I honestly think these have been the worst days of my life. Kenji's eyes are deep, serious.
You want to tell me about it?
I shake my head, wiping furiously at my cheeks. I don't think I'll be able to talk about any of it until I know Warner is okay.
I'm so sorry, Jay. I really am.
I sniff hard. You know my name is Ella, right?
Right,
he says, his eyebrows pulling together.
Yeah, Ella. That's wild.
I like it, I say. I like it better than Juliet.
I don't know. I think both names are nice.
Yeah, I say, turning away. But Juliet was the name Anderson picked out for me.
And Ella is the name you were born with,
Kenji says, shooting me a look.
I get it.
Yeah.
Listen, he says with a sigh. I know this has been a rough couple of weeks for you. I heard about the memory thing. I heard about lots of things, and I can't pretend to imagine I have any idea what you must be going through right now. But you can't blame yourself for any of this. It's not your fault. None of it is your fault. You've been a pawn at the center of this conspiracy your entire life. The last month wasn't going to change that, okay? You have to be kinder to yourself. You've already been through so much.
I offer Kenji a weak smile. I'll try, I say quietly.
Feeling any better now?
No. And thinking about leaving here without Warner? Not knowing if he'll even make it onto this plane, it's killing me, Kenji. It's boring a hole through my body. Kenji sighs, looks away.
I get it, he says. I do. You're worried you won't have a chance to make things right with him.
I nod.
Shit.
I won't do it. I can't do it, Kenji.
I understand where you're coming from, kid, I swear. But we can't afford to do this. If they're not back here in 5 minutes, we have to go.
Then you'll have to leave without me.
No way. Not an option,
he says, getting to his feet. I don't want to do this any more than you do, but I know Nazira well enough to know that she can handle herself out there, and if she's not back yet, it's probably because she's waiting for a safer moment. She'll find her way, and you have to trust that she'll bring Warner back with her, okay? No. Come on. Kenji, stop. I get to my feet too, anger and heartbreak colliding. Don't do this, he says, shaking his head. Don't force me to do something I don't want to do, because if I have to, I will tackle you to the floor, Jay, I swear. You wouldn't do that, I say quietly. The fight leaves my body. I feel suddenly exhausted, hollowed out by heartache. I know you wouldn't. You wouldn't make me leave him behind.
Ella?
I turn around. A bolt of feeling leaving me breathless. Just the sound of his voice has my heart racing in a way that feels dangerous. The jarring shift from fear to joy has my head pounding, delirious with feeling. I'd been so worried all this time, and to know now, he's unharmed. His face unmarked, his body intact. He's perfect and beautiful, and he's here. I don't know how, but he's here. I clap my hands over my mouth. I'm shaking my head and searching desperately for the right words, but find I can't speak. I can only stare at him as he steps forward, his eyes bright and burning. He pulls me into his arms. Sobs break my body, the culmination of 1,000 fears and worries I hadn't allowed myself to process. I press my face into his neck and try, but fail, to pull myself together. I'm sorry, I say, gasping the words, tears streaming fast down my face. Aaron, I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. I feel him stiffen. He pulls away, staring at me with strange, scared eyes.
Why would you say that?
He looks around wildly, glances at Kenji, who only shakes his head.
What happened, love?
He pushes the hair out of my eyes, takes my face in his hands.
What are you sorry for?
Nazira pushes past us. She nods at me just once before heading to the cockpit. Moments later, I hear the roar of the engine, the electric sounds of equipment coming online. I hear her voice in the speakers overhead, her crisp, certain commands filling the plane. She tells us to take our seats and get strapped in, and I stare at Warner just once more, promising myself that we'll have a chance to talk, promising myself that I'll make this right. When we take off, he's holding my hand. We've been climbing higher for several minutes now, and Kenji and Nazira were generous enough to give us some illusion of privacy. They both shot me separate but similar looks of encouragement just before they slipped off into the cockpit. It finally feels safe to keep talking. But emotion is like a fist in my chest, hard and heavy. There's too much to say, too much to discuss. I almost don't even know where to start. I don't know what happened to him, what he learned or what he remembers. I don't know if he's feeling the same things I'm feeling anymore, and all the unknowns are starting to scare me.
What's wrong?
He says. He's turned in his seat to face me. He reaches up, touches my face, and the feeling of his skin against mine is overwhelming. So powerful it leaves me breathless. Feeling shoots up my spine, sparks in my nerves.
You're afraid, love. Why are you afraid?
Do you remember me? I whisper. I have to force myself to remain steady, to fight back the tears that refuse to die. Do you remember me the way I remember you? Something changes in his expression. His eyes change, pull together in pain. He nods. Because I remember you, I say, my voice breaking on the last word. I remember you, Aaron. I remember everything. And you have to know. You have to know how sorry I am for the way I left things between us. I'm crying again.
I'm sorry for everything I said, for everything I put you through.
Sweetheart,
he says gently, the question in his eyes resolving to a measure of understanding.
None of that matters anymore. That fight feels like it happened in another lifetime to different people.
I wipe away my tears. I know, I say, but being here, all of this, I thought I might never see you again, and it killed me to remember how I left things between us. When I look up again, Warner is staring at me, his own eyes bright, shining. I watch the movement in his throat as he swallows hard. Forgive me, I whisper. I know it all seems stupid now, but I don't want to take anything for granted anymore. Forgive me for hurting you. Forgive me for not trusting you. I took my pain out on you, and I'm so sorry. I was selfish, and I hurt you, and I'm so sorry. He's silent for so long, I almost can't bear it. When he finally speaks, his voice is rough with emotion.
Love,
he says,
there's nothing to forgive.
Warner. Ella is asleep in my arms. Ella. I can't really think of her as Juliet anymore. We've been in the air for an hour now, and Ella cried until her tears ran dry. Cried for so long I thought it might kill me. I didn't know what to say. I was so stunned I didn't know how to soothe her. And only when the exhaustion overcame the tears did she finally go still, collapsing fully and completely into my arms. I've been holding her against my chest for at least half an hour, marveling at what it does to me to just be this close to her. Every once in a while, it feels like a dream. Her face is pressed against my neck. She's clinging to me like she might never let go. And it does something to me, something heady, to know that she could possibly want me or need me like this. It makes me want to protect her, even if she doesn't need protecting. It makes me want to carry her away, lose track of time. Gently, I stroke her hair, press my lips to her forehead. She stirs, but only slightly. I had not been expecting this. Of all the things I thought might happen when I finally saw her, I could never have dreamed a scenario such as this. No one has ever apologized to me before. Not like this. I've had men fall to their knees before me, begging me to spare their lives. But I can't remember a single time in my life when someone apologized to me for hurting my feelings. No one has ever cared about my feelings long enough to apologize for hurting them. In my experience, I'm usually the monster. I'm the one expected to make amends. And now, I'm stunned. Stunned by the experience, by how strange it feels. All this time, I'd been preparing to win her back, to try to convince her somehow to see past my demons. And up until just this moment, I don't think I was ever truly convinced anyone would see me as human enough to forgive my sins. To give me a second chance. But now she knows everything. Every dark corner of my life, every awful thing I ever tried to hide, she knows, and she still loves me. God. I run a tired hand across my face. She asked me to forgive her. I almost don't know what to do with myself. I feel joy and terror. My heart is heavy with something I don't even know how to describe. Gratitude, perhaps. The ache in my chest has grown stronger, more painful. Being near her is somehow both a relief and a new kind of agony. There's so much ahead of us, so much we still need to face together. But right now, I don't want to think about any of it. Right now, I just want to enjoy her proximity. I want to watch the gentle motions of her breathing. I want to inhale the soft scent of her hair and lean into the steadying warmth of her body. Carefully, I touch my fingers to her cheek. Her face is smooth, free from pain and tension. She looks peaceful. She looks beautiful. My love. My beautiful love. Her eyes flutter open, and I worry for a moment that I might have spoken out loud. But then she looks up at me, her eyes still soft with sleep, and I bring my hand to her face, this time trailing my fingers lightly along her jaw. She closes her eyes again, smiles. "I love you," she whispers. A shock of feeling swells inside of me, makes it hard for me to breathe. I can only look at her, studying her face, the lines and angles I've somehow always known. Slowly, she sits up. She leans back, stretching out her sore, stiff muscles. When she catches me watching her, she offers me a shy smile. She leans in, takes my face in her hands. "Hi," she says, her words soft, her hands gentle as she tilts my chin down toward her mouth. She kisses me, once, her lips full and sweet. It's a tender kiss, but feeling strikes through me with a sharp, desperate need. "I missed you so much," she says. "I still can't believe you're here." She kisses me again, this time deeper, hungrier, and my heart beats so fast it roars in my ears. I can hardly hear anything else. I can't bring myself to speak. I feel stunned. When we break apart, her eyes are worried.
"Aaron," she says, "is everything okay?"
And I realize then, in a moment that terrifies me, that I want this forever. I want to spend the rest of my life with her. I want to build a future with her. I want to grow old with her. I want to marry her.
"Ella. Aaron," I say again, this time softly. "Are you all right?" He blinks, startled.
"Yes,"
he says, drawing in a sharp breath.
"Yes, yes, I'm perfect."
I manage a small smile. "I'm glad you finally agree with me." He frowns, confused, and then, as realization hits, he blushes. Then for the first time in weeks, a full, genuine grin spreads across my face. It feels good. Human. But Aaron shakes his head, clearly mortified. He can't meet my eyes. His voice is careful, quiet, when he says,
"That's not at all what I meant."
"Hey," I say, my smile fading. I take his hands in mine, squeeze. "Look at me." He does, and I forget what I was going to say. He has that kind of face, the kind of face that makes you forget where you are, who you are, what you might have been about to do or say. I've missed him so much, missed his eyes. It's only been a couple of weeks, but it feels like forever since the last time I saw him. A lifetime full of horrible revelations that threaten to break us both. I can't believe he's here, that we found each other and made things right. It's no small thing. Even with everything else, with all the other horrors we've yet to contend with, being here with him feels like a huge victory. Everything feels new. My mind feels new, my memory's new. Even Aaron's face is new in its own way. He looks a little different to me now. Familiar. Like he's always been here, always lived in my heart. His hair, thick and golden and beautiful, is how I remember it best. Evie must have done something to his hair too, somehow. And even though he looks more exhausted than I'd like, his face is still striking. Beautiful sharp lines, piercing green eyes so light and bright they're almost painful to look at. Everything about him is finely crafted, his nose, his chin, his ears and eyebrows. He has a beautiful mouth. I linger too long there, my eyes betraying my mind, and Aaron smiles. Aaron. Calling him Warner doesn't feel right anymore.
What are you doing, love?
Just enjoying the view, I say, still staring at his mouth. I reach up, touch two fingers to his bottom lip. Memories flood through me in a sudden, breathless rush. Long nights, early mornings, his mouth on me, everywhere, over and over again. I hear him exhale suddenly, and I glance up at him. His eyes are darker, heavy with feeling.
What are you thinking?
I shake my head, feeling suddenly shy. It's strange, considering how close we've been, that I'd feel shy around him now. But he feels at once old and new to me, like we're still learning about each other, still discovering what our relationship means and what we mean to each other. Things feel deeper, desperate, more important. I take his hands again. How are you? I whisper. He's staring at our hands entwined when he says,
My father is still alive.
I heard, I'm so sorry. He nods, looks away. Did you see him? Another nod.
I tried to kill him.
I go still. I know how hard it's been for Aaron to face his father. Anderson has always been his most formidable opponent. Aaron has never been able to fight him head on. He's never been able to bring himself to actually follow through with his threats to kill his father. It's astonishing he even came close. And then Aaron tells me how his father has semi-functional healing powers, how Evie tried to recreate the twins' DNA for him. So your dad is basically invincible? Aaron laughs quietly, shakes his head.
I don't think so. It makes him harder to kill, but I definitely think there's a chink to be found in his armor.
He sighs.
Believe it or not, the strangest part of the whole thing was that afterward, my father was proud of me. Proud of me for trying to kill him.
Aaron looks up, looks me in the eye.
Can you imagine?
Yes, I whisper. I can. Aaron's eyes go deep with emotion. He pulls me close.
I'm so sorry, love. I'm so sorry for everything they did to you, for everything they've put you through. It kills me to know that you were suffering, that I couldn't be there for you.
I don't want to think about it right now. I shake my head. Right now, all I want is this. I just want to be here with you, whatever comes next. We'll face it together.
Ella,
he says softly. A wave of feeling washes over me. Hearing him say my name, my real name, makes everything feel real, makes us feel real. I meet his eyes. He smiles.
You know, I feel everything when you touch me, love. I can feel your excitement, your nervousness, your pleasure, and I love it.
He says quietly.
I love the way you respond to me. I love the way you want me. I feel it when you lose yourself, the way you trust me when we're together. And I feel your love for me.
He whispers.
I feel it in my bones.
He turns away.
I have loved you my entire life.
He looks up, looks at me with so much feeling it nearly breaks my heart.
And after everything we've been through, after all the lies and the secrets and the misunderstandings, I feel like we've been given a chance to start fresh. I want to start over,
he says.
I never want to lie to you again. I want us to trust each other and be true partners in everything. No more misunderstandings,
he says.
No more secrets. I want us to begin again here in this moment.
I nod, pulling back so I can see his face more clearly. Emotions well in my throat, threaten to overcome me. I want that too. I want that so much.
Ella,
he says, his voice rough with feeling.
I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
My heart stops. I stare at him, uncertain, thoughts pinwheeling in my head. I touch his cheek and he looks away, takes a sudden shaky breath. What are you saying? I whisper.
I love you, Ella. I love you more than...
Wow, you two seriously couldn't wait until we got back to base, huh? You couldn't spare my eyes?
The sound of Kenji's voice pulls me suddenly, abruptly, out of my head. I turn too quickly, awkwardly disengaging from Aaron's body. Aaron, on the other hand, goes suddenly white. Kenji throws a thin airplane pillow at him.
You're welcome,
he says. Aaron chucks the pillow back without a word, his eyes burning in Kenji's direction. He seems both shocked and angry, and he leans forward in his seat, his elbows balanced on his knees, the heels of his hands pressed against his eyes.
You're a plague upon my life, Kishimoto.
I said you're welcome.
Aaron sighs heavily.
What I would give to snap your neck right now, you have no idea.
Hey, you have no idea what I just did for you,
Kenji says.
So I'm going to repeat myself one more time. You are welcome.
I never asked for your help.
Kenji crosses his arms. When he speaks, he over-enunciates each word like he might be talking to an idiot.
I don't think you're thinking clearly.
I'm thinking clearer than I ever have.
You really thought that would be a good idea? Kenji says, shaking his head. Here? Now?
Aaron's jaw clenches. He looks mutinous.
Bro, this is not the moment.
And when, exactly, did you become an expert on this sort of thing?
I look between the two of them. What is going on? I say. What are you guys talking about?
Nothing,
they say at the same time. Okay. I stare at them, still confused, and I'm about to ask another question when Kenji says suddenly,
Who wants lunch?
My eyebrows shoot up my forehead. We have lunch?
It's pretty awful, Kenji says. But Nazira and I have a picnic basket we brought with us, yeah.
I guess I'm up for trying the contents of the mystery basket. I smile at Aaron. Are you hungry? But Aaron says nothing. He's still staring at the floor. I touch his hand and finally he sighs.
I'm not hungry,
he says.
Not an option, Kenji says sharply. I'm pretty sure you haven't eaten a damn thing since you got out of fake prison.
Aaron frowns, and when he looks up, he says,
It wasn't fake prison. It was a very real prison. They poisoned me for weeks.
What? My eyes widen. You never took... Kenji cuts me off with a wave of his hand.
They gave you food, water, and let you keep the clothes on your back, didn't they?
Yes, but...
He shrugs.
Sounds like you had a little vacation.
Aaron sighs. He looks both annoyed and exhausted as he runs a hand down the length of his face. I don't like it. Hey, why are you giving him such a hard time, I say, frowning at Kenji. Just before he and Nazira showed up, you were going on and on about how wonderful he is, and... Kenji swears suddenly under his breath.
Jesus, Jay!
He shoots me a dark look.
What did I say to you about repeating that conversation out loud?
Aaron sits up, the frustration in his eyes slowly giving way to surprise.
You think I'm wonderful?
He says, one hand pressed against his chest in mock affection.
That's so sweet.
I never said you were wonderful.
Aaron tilts his head.
Then what exactly did you say?
Kenji turns away, says nothing. I'm grinning at Kenji's back when I say, He said you looked good in everything and that you were good at everything. Aaron's smile deepens. Aaron almost never smiles widely enough for me to see his dimples, but when he does, they transform his face. His eyes light up. His cheeks go pink with feeling. He looks suddenly sweet, adorable. It takes my breath away. But he's not looking at me. He's looking at Kenji, his eyes full of laughter when he says,
Please tell me she's not serious.
Kenji flips us both off. Aaron laughs and then, leaning in,
You really think I look good in everything?
Shut up, asshole.
Aaron laughs again.
Stop having fun without me,
Nazira shouts from the cockpit.
No more making jokes until I put this thing on cruise control.
I stiffen. Do planes have cruise control? Kenji scratches his head. I don't actually know. But then Nazira saunters over to us, tall and beautiful and unbothered. She's not covering her hair today, which I suppose makes sense, considering it's generally illegal. But I feel a faint panic spread through my body when I realize she's in no hurry to return to the cockpit. Wait, no one is flying the plane, I say. Shouldn't someone be flying the plane? She waves me down.
It's fine. These things are practically automatic now, anyway. I don't have to do any more than input coordinates and make sure everything is operating smoothly.
But everything is fine, she says, shooting me a sharp look.
We're fine, but someone needs to tell me what's going on.
Are you sure we're fine? I ask once more, quietly. She levels me with a dark look. I sigh. Well, in that case, I say, you should know that Kenji was just admiring Aaron's sense of style. Nazira turns to Kenji, raises a single eyebrow. Kenji shakes his head, visibly irritated.
I wasn't— Damn it, Jay, you have no loyalty.
I have plenty of loyalty, I say, slightly wounded. But when you guys fight like this, it stresses me out. I just want Aaron to know that, secretly, you care about him. I love you both, and I want the two of you to be friends.
Wait.
Aaron frowns.
What do you mean you love us both?
I glance between him and Kenji, surprised. I mean, I care about both of you. I love you both.
Right,
Aaron says, hesitating.
But you don't actually love us both. That's just a figure of speech, isn't it?
It's my turn to frown. Kenji is my best friend, I say. I love him like a brother.
But I love you too, princess,
Kenji says a little too loudly.
And I appreciate you saying that.
Aaron mutters something under his breath that sounds suspiciously like,
unwashed idiot. What did you say to me?
Kenji's eyes widen.
I'll have you know I wash all the time.
Nazira places a calming hand on Kenji's arm, and he startles at her touch. He looks up at her, blinking.
We have another 5 hours ahead of us on this flight,
she says, and her voice is firm but kind.
So I recommend we put this conversation to bed. I think it's clear to everyone that you and Warner secretly enjoy each other's friendship, and it's not doing anyone any good to pretend otherwise.
Kenji blanches.
Does that sound like a reasonable plan?
She looks around at all of us.
Can we all agree that we're on the same team?
Yes, I say enthusiastically. I do, I agree. Aaron says,
fine.
Great, Nazira says.
Kenji, you okay?
He nods and mumbles something under his breath.
Perfect. Now here's the plan, she says briskly. We're going to eat and then take turns trying to get some sleep. We'll have a ton of things to deal with when we land, and it's best if we hit the ground running when we do.
She tosses a few vacuum-sealed bags at each of us.
That's your lunch. There are water bottles in the fridge up front. Kenji and I will take the first shift.
No way, Kenji says, crossing his arms. You've been up for 24 hours straight. I'll take the first shift.
But
Warner and I will take the first shift together, actually.
Kenji shoots Warner a look.
Isn't that right?
Yes, of course,
Aaron says. He's already on his feet.
I'd be happy to.
Great,
Kenji says. Nazira is already stifling a yawn, pulling a bunch of thin blankets and pillows from a storage closet.
All right, then. Just wake us up in a couple of hours, okay?
Kenji raises an eyebrow at her.
Sure.
I'm serious.
Yep, got it.
Kenji offers her a mock salute. Aaron offers me a quick smile, and the two of them disappear into the cockpit. Kenji closes the door behind them. I'm staring at the closed door, wondering what on earth is going on between the two of them, when Nazira says,
I had no idea you two were so intense.
I look up, surprised. Who? Me and Aaron?
No,
she says, smiling.
You and Kenji.
Oh!